podcast. Tonight, we're talking NCAA Football Ultimate Team, a mode that was kind of teased or leaked weeks ago. A lot of debate and discussion. How in the world is EA Sports going to pull this off with not having a player license? How is this going to work? Well, the full details are now out. We haven't seen it in action, but we've heard a lot about it. I'm Chris. I'm joined tonight by JB and another JB, but we're going to call him Jason or Dirty Bird, straight out of LA. Dirty Bird, how's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Good. Now, we should say LA is lower Alabama, so nobody gets confused and thinks you're from California.
I don't think anybody's going to confuse Dirty Bird from Compton.
Bert, you attended an Ultimate Team event about a month ago, and can you talk about, at least for NCAA football, how much did you get to see? That way people have a basis to know how more advanced you are in terms of what you've seen.
Yeah, I got to actually play it at the NCAA community event that we had in March, and then I went down for Madden Ultimate Team, but we also got to, mess around with NCAA Ultimate Team. I think it was in late March or 1st of April. I was really excited for the mode, just simply because of the diversity that it can bring. Those former college players that never made a big impact in the NFL, but they were huge to their universities when they're in school. And this is something that I think that will set NCAA Ultimate Team apart from any other Ultimate Team mode, that's been out already, such as FIFA, Madden, or NHL.
This is one of those shows that's kind of tough to do because some people are very, very familiar with Ultimate Team. They've played it, like you said, in Madden, in FIFA, in NHL, or maybe they've played the show's version of it in Diamond Dynasty or NBA 2K's version. But there's also a lot of people out there who NCAA football is the only version, the only sports game they play religiously or on a yearly basis. So for some of them, this is completely foreign. They only know bits and pieces, if that. So tonight we're going to try to look at it from from 30,000 feet, but also get into the nuts and bolts a little bit. We do want to know that we're working on trying to get an interview and a podcast with some of the Ultimate Team developers. So depending when you guys are listening to it, it may be out, it may not be, but we're looking to meet with them to get even more in-depth questions answered. First off, what is Ultimate Team? And the best quick description I can give is one that Airwolf, a big Ultimate Team guy, he said it combines all the things that guys like. It's video games, it's football, and it combines eBay with auctions and wheeling and dealing and trading. And, well, JB, while you fire in here, is that a pretty good way to describe it if you had to just throw it out there in a sentence?
Yeah, basically what you're trying to do is, amass a super team, a fantasy team. And you can, basically with Ultimate Team, you can mold it any way that you really want to. If you want to just try to get the best guys possible, get all 99s across board, or we'll throw in a brand new example with NCAA football. Maybe you're just trying to get a team of Nebraska Cornhusker greats field. And the good thing about Ultimate Team, it's you can compete offline or online, so you don't, if you're just going for your own team's greats and putting them on the field and playing with them, well, then all you got to worry about is playing the computer. If you really want to get competitive, there's going to be stuff for that. And, you just want to basically try to get the best cards that you can, either through the luck of the draw in the packs or by paying for it in the auction.
You guys have done an excellent job giving the basics already, so this is going to make this very easy to fly through, and then we'll get a little more in-depth discussion. The basics of the mode, I do recommend that people go listen to the Press Row podcast of Operation Sports. Rich Grisham interviewed Ben Hallmiller about the mode, and they covered a lot of the basics and a lot of in-depth stuff. And I thought Ben really put it best when he said, this is the mode that people said couldn't be done in college football without the license. Well, they've done it. And what they have done as the catalyst is acquiring the NFLPA license. So basically every player who is in Madden, and if the school approves them, meaning they're in good standing, eligible to be used in NCAA Football Ultimate Team. Bert, real quick, I'm under the impression that virtually every player, if the school approves, will be in. Is that correct?
Well, if they're under the NFLPA, the school approves them, they can be in. Guys that are no longer under that, they have to sign on an individual basis, and the school has to approve them.
So quite a bit of work for EA, and some of the articles out so far said at launch there'll be 1,400 players. I don't know how that compares to Madden, but I believe it's higher, and eventually they may be as many as 2,500. And like Bert, you said, there's going to go after a lot of greats, and that's what makes college football so great, is that you'll have players who maybe they had a great 4 or 5 year career, depending if they got injured, or maybe they just had the one game, they made the big play to beat a rival, to win a bowl game, to win a championship, and they never played professionally. Just, those are the kind of guys people really want.
So just to clarify, Bert, if you want to clarify it for everybody, the NFLPA license, is that just anybody that is on an active roster or has been on an active roster and is not retired, or how is that set up?
Well, from what I understand, it's anybody that's on an active NFL roster now, or I think maybe have played in the last 5 years.
I think you're right, Bert. I think it's if they have retired in the last X number of years but haven't signed retirement papers, they're still considered eligible. That's the way I understand it.
Right. That's kind of like Ray Lewis in Ultimate Team, in Madden Ultimate Team this year. They put out a ghost of Ray Lewis back during Christmas, but after the Super Bowl, he had retired, and he officially filed his papers, so they can't really release another Ray Lewis card unless they sign him on an individual basis, because he did file the papers.
And Ray Lewis is a good example. One of the screenshots that EA, I believe they tweeted out yesterday, it may have been on Facebook, I forget, showed a Ray Lewis card. So I think you brought up a good point there, that they apparently have already signed Ray Lewis as one of these independent players or non-NFLPA players. We know a few of the other basics of the mode. When you start it up, selecting your favorite team will get you instantly their playbook, their uniform. So right off the bat, if you're a big Alabama fan or a big Nebraska fan, you can get some Nebraska details right on your squad. You'll get a starter pack. It sounds like it may increase your chances of getting a legend from that school, but it's not guaranteed. As JB mentioned, there's two big ways to play this mode. The solo challenges, which is the way I prefer to play, based on Mutt at least, and the head-to-head seasons mode, which comes over from FIFA basically. Solo challenges are basically an offline mode where you play against a computer. You go through these different goals and tasks, and once you complete a certain level, you'll get a bonus. And those cards you unlock there may help complete collections, which is another big part of Ultimate Team, is they will have a collection, and it could be very basic, such as all Nebraska players, or at least a certain number of Nebraska players. You complete that, you'll get a bonus, whether that be coins, cards, who knows what else. And also, they've said that the Skills Trainer feature, which is new to NCAA 14, they have not showcased it yet, but they have certainly talked about it. Completing those drills will also unlock Ultimate Team cards. So there are some good ways to get good players pretty early in this mode. I'll let you guys, if there's anything about the basics you want to talk about, otherwise we'll go on to some more in-depth stuff. Bert, I'll let you go first.
Just to touch on the collections, in years past, those have given either coin reward, and in several instances, like last year in Madden Ultimate Team 12, they had, say, a Nebraska collection. You put in 5 to 10 players and you got a small coin reward, but you also got a 90-something Sue card that you could get by completing that collection. And that's one of the big things. The way I always describe Ultimate Team is fantasy football, plus collecting cards, like you did, when you were younger, combined with playing, games. So that's just, got a little bit of everything.
We're talking on a basic level, just some minor things to know. All the player cards, they're going to have a contract on them with a certain number. That means that's how many starts that you can have for those players, and there's going to be, within packs, there are utility cards where you can add to the player's contract. That's another one of the main basic things that someone new to Ultimate Team may not know when they're going into it, what that mean.
And that's one thing from Madden they've mentioned, and that's good that you brought contracts. There's a lot of details these new guys are not going to be familiar with. You can have 55 active players, plus you're allowed a kind of a reserve, basically. So you can stockpile quite a few player cards. So there was a community member on Twitter yesterday, Oni Kuna, who was wondering, well, if I get my Oklahoma, 22 players I want, is it going to be a big battle to always have enough contracts to keep them eligible? And my opinion, and Bert, I'd love to hear your thoughts. My opinion, and I told him, was with Mutt, I have not had to spend much money and you can use your coins to buy some contracts in the store if they're available there, that it's not a huge challenge. Would you agree or disagree when it comes to adding contracts to keep players eligible?
Yeah, I mean, I started playing, every year when it first came out. So this past year in my 13, the contracts were not available in the store to buy, and people were kind of struggling. But they quickly, rectified that and put, bronze and silver contracts for a low point amount in the store. So, after that, it was never a problem. And so I would, take that they had learned their lesson with that. It wasn't a huge deal, but, I have to, contract, I discard them most of the time because once you get them, they, further, in the, year, a contract won't be an issue at all. I would take it that they're going to have some available, in the store. And then two, this year, your starter pack cards didn't use contracts. Even though they were low level, you could use those cards as many games as you wanted, without the, having been used contracts. So it might be that you might be a few coins short of buying a pack. And that's one of your late, starter pack guys in there for one game. So, to get enough to buy another pack. Or buy some contracts out of the store.
In the interview with Ben Hommeler, Press Row podcast, he talked about some of the player cards that will be available, some of the types, and how they're going to base the players around, basically. Some guys only were stars for a year. Some were stars for 4 years. And people wondered, well, theoretically, all these players, even professionally, were pretty good college players. So what's going to make sure that not every card is an 85 or higher player. And he talked about some of the variations could be an underclassman card that maybe you might get, say, an Adrian Peterson, but the underclassman version will not be as powerful or as highly rated as the upperclassman version. And there also will be Heisman hopeful cards, so guys who maybe were up for the Heisman trophy, such as Colin Klein, the example he used. There's also a image of Mark Ingram as a Heisman hopeful that I would guess those would be a little more rare and they would be a little higher rated. Is that the way you took that, Bert? And do you think we'll see other special card variations down the line?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that's exactly what you're talking about. In Ultimate Team, you'll have, say, Ronnie Lott, for instance. They added him as a legend this year. You had 92 Ronnie Lott. It was kind of like his rookie card because he was a cornerback. He actually started his career playing cornerback for the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had a mid-tier 94 level free safety Ronnie Lott. You had a one-star 99 rated Ronnie Lott. And then they had a collection that they called the Ultimate Legend Collection. So you put those three cards along with a key card in and got a two-star 99, Ronnie Lott. So it's kind of going in the same format that they had before. The one thing you get to, I saw somebody, post a comment about the Charlie Ward card on the Game Intelligate, in the comment section about the, having that. They have lowered the overall rating, cards where, mm-hmm. You just can't build a 99 team in one day unless, you choose to like spend money, and still it would be very tough. When I was at the community, I probably, for 3 days total, I might have ended up with three or four 99 guys on my entire team.
Mm-hmm.
Where when Ultimate Team launched last year, within a week, I had pretty much 97, 98 overall team already.
Wow.
So they, listened to, the fans and the community, stuff like that. And so the card ratings have dropped. And I'm taking it to just going to be the same NCAA. You get one of those, 99 Heisman Trophy winner, Charlie Ward card, it's going to be rare. And if you don't want to use it, you can always throw it up on the auction, make you a lot of coin.
Hey, Bert, on both Madden and more so in FIFA, there's a kind of a chemistry tie-in based on, to put it in easier terms, on the FIFA side, if they're from the same league, the same team, or the same country, it kind of gives a boost to the overall team chemistry. Is there the same type of thing this year NCAA as well?
It's not in NCAA this year. It's been in Madden up until 13. They took it out. as far as it will not be an NCAA.
Okay.
And speak about anything else other than that.
I have a question for you, Bert, and this is something that is in Madden Ultimate Team. I don't know if it'll be an NCAA, but I think it's worth asking, especially if it is brought over. You mentioned the 99 two-star card. What is the difference, or what makes it more or less special when you have, like, for example, on my Madden Ultimate Team, I have a Michael Irvin 99 one-star, but I have seen people have cards that are also highly rated where it's two-star, three-star, four-star, and I believe it goes up to five-star. What's the exact difference with that? Is it just rarity, or is there something else there that I don't know about?
It's rarity most of the time, other than a few exceptions. You go up to two, three-star, the four-star is the highest we've had so far. It was an Adrian Peterson MVP. It's the stats. The cover reward of Barry Sanders that they put out 2 weeks ago. I think it was 13 cover vote cards to do the collection. And basically, I think every stat on the back of this card is a 100, except for maybe one's a 97.
Oh, wow.
But the thing about it is, I mean, I was using him like playing earlier, and I mean, he got rocked by Rod Woodson and fumbled. I mean, even though he has 100 too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as. Now, if you have a, low-rated, like, starter team, bronze team, and you're playing against somebody that has, like, a high-rated, 99 team, yeah, you can get a disadvantage. But you can always, beat that. I guarantee you, Falls could take a starter pack bronze team online and wear people out with 99 teams. I've seen people that have, like, 85-rated teams that will beat, people with all 99 teams. It's just, you got to look at player stats. I mean, there's like Manny Lawson on Madden Ultimate Team is like rated at 85, but he has like 92 steals.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people use him. He's really good, especially if you can user control him. But things like that, just the stats on them, or most of them are collection, some kind of a collection reward, like the two-star Lott, two-star Woodson, two-star Deion. They were all like the ultimate legends. So you
mm-hmm.
collect like four or five cards to them. You got one of the cards, which is usually a jersey, a throwback jersey that from doing the solo challenge for each one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 99 one-star, and then usually Deion's mid-tier card was like a 95, and then he had a 92 like rookie cards. And usually the upper stars is better stats, and they at first they will be really rare because people won't have the cards to pick complete collections.
Right.
But and then see they're going to nudge them at that special edition packs around rivalry games. Last year, Madden Ultimate Team did say UCF and Marshall. They did a Marshall Randy Moss card. He had his 49ers uniform on, but it said Marshall on the card. They did Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
UCF. For the LSU-Alabama game, they did a LeBron McClain Alabama card and a Patrick Peterson LSU card. BYU, Notre Dame, they let Joe Montana, Steve Young, and they put them in packs for like 24 hours. It was only the winner of the game, so the Alabama beat LSU, so the LeBron McClain went in the packs, and the Peterson never did. Same thing with the Notre Dame, Joe Montana went in the packs, and Steve Young didn't. And then they brought them back towards the end of the year, and they ended up they called it Lost Campus Legends, and put that Steve Young and Patrick Peterson and stuff in packs for, I think, 24 hours or so.
And that's something that some of the previews have mentioned, that there will be special edition packs around rivalry games, bowl games, and other major college football events, and they say it'll be your chance to score some rare stuff, and I'm assuming they mean strictly cards. But I think the discussion we just had there really ties in well to the next question. And JB, I'll let you fire away first as someone who, I know you play Ultimate Team on Madden, I play it, and obviously Bird is a pro at it. Do you think Ultimate Team is going to be too daunting for newcomers? And that's not just in terms of winning games. That is knowing what's going on, knowing what cards mean, knowing what promotions are even going on. That's one of the things I get now reading through comments, is it just seems like people really don't understand everything that goes into Ultimate Team.
It probably will be, because there's always a lot going on. If someone's just a casual
person that has never even heard of Ultimate Team this many years into it, with the other titles, a newcomer is probably going to be either overwhelmed or more so unaware than overwhelmed, I think, especially when it comes to a lot of the promotions, because a lot of those promotions, those are delivered through social media, and I don't see a casual gamer really following social media or Twitter just to kind of see what's going to happen for the week. You know, in-game they're going to see some things, but I think overall they're just going to probably want to get in and play and buy packs. I think those newcomers, for the most part, may not even try to get kind of those extra things that are going to be put in, the rare cards and such. I think for the most part they're probably just going to focus on playing games and then buying packs when they have the coin.
JB, you bring up a good point there. Bert, as someone more experienced with this mode, do you agree, and I have to admit I do agree with JB here, do you think sometimes it's just not clear all the promotions that are going on, that even for the experienced guys, do you guys find yourselves feeling in the dark a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I can see if somebody, like JB says, not following social media and stuff, you wouldn't know ahead of time to like do it, so there could be something that comes out, say you didn't play for a day or 2 days, and there could be something that comes out like that that might be in packs for 24 hours that you missed and you didn't even realize you missed it until you maybe see somebody have that card or see it on the trade block or see it on the auction block. If it's something that's, going on like a position collection, those things come up into collections. Once they come up, they're usually there. They don't ever take them away. Sometimes they will pull back some cards that were special after so many, so long, a couple of weeks, and that pulls some of them out. There's, in Madden Ultimate Team, there's a big banner, like right when you click on that, Ultimate Team, look at the Ultimate Team screen, there's a banner right in the middle of the screen that tells you anything that's going on. But if they did have a 24-hour, and somebody didn't log, didn't know about it, they didn't follow social media, yeah, they might, miss something. From my experience, since Madden Ultimate Team 10, the first year that they've had it, if you miss something, it's a good chance that later in the year that they'll bring it back at some point. Just like, the point I made about like the Patrick Peterson, Steve Young, BYU card and stuff like that. It was several months down the road, but they did, put them back out and made them, I think, a number late out of 250 or something, but at least you did get a chance to get them. As far as tips for newcomers, the biggest thing and ties in about them re-release it, got to be patient. The key, number one thing, if you choose to spend money, you can. And there's going to be people that spend money, but you can have a team that's just as good as the best, money can buy if you'll be patient and work. You get to work the auction house, search, cards and stuff. If you'll, search and put in your time and be patient, you'll be able to find one up there for cheap. If you'll just, bide your time. Because as soon, the thing about it is, Ultimate Team players, they want the newest dog and pony show, it's out there. If they put out something new, they're going to start selling the stuff that was so expensive the week before. They're going to start, unloading it, trying to, get coins or to buy packs or, to buy, the new cards. So that's when you really want to capitalize on being able to buy stuff cheaper, hold on to it for a couple of days till a promotion comes out, a new card, new collection. Hold on to it, for a couple of days, and then everything will balance itself out. And then you turn around and either you can keep that card if you want it because you got it for cheaper, or you turn back around and you post it and, double your coins on it.
This next question is kind of a hardcore one, and I don't think it'll make much sense to newcomers until they maybe if they go play Madden Ultimate Team until before the release of NC 14, or maybe if NC 14 has the same layout. Would you agree or disagree that the interface within the mode, and while it's improved the last few years, is still kind of cumbersome, especially when it relates to going between active cards, reserve cards, pending collections, and collections? Do you think it's kind of clunky and cumbersome and could be improved?
It's my number one complaint with the mode.
Okay, that makes me. I'm glad you said that. I'm the same way.
Number one complaint, especially late. Say this past weekend, this past Sunday, they put out a wide receiver collection in Madden Ultimate Team. And even if you have the cards in your reserves or whatever, it takes forever because you can only put 10 in your pending collection, which is where you go to actually put them into each collection. You can only do 10 at a time, so you've got to drop them in your pending, back out, go into pending, put them, each individual card in a collection, back out again, drop 10 more in there. I mean, it just takes so long versus, you know, like in Madden Social, they have a light red little, you know, circle on them, whatever. They go into a collection, click on that stuff, and you know, it's really streamlined.
Bert, would you agree or disagree? This is kind of a layout question again. As someone who I'm kind of an intermediate Ultimate Team player, I find it, again, kind of cumbersome and tough that when I want to put a card into a collection or I think that it's a collection-worthy card, wouldn't it be nicer if there was a way to maybe click on the card and some option to see every possible collection it could go into? Because I find myself putting some cards into pending collections only to realize, or I want to put them in a pending collection, that there's no collection for them. That it just seems like it's kind of a hunt. And I went into Ultimate Team this past weekend in Madden, and it's great that they have so many collections, but it also, in my opinion, could be considered a detriment because it was just, again, like you said, so slow, and looking through the collections just seemed to take forever. Would you like to see, and or maybe there's some secret I don't know about, to see what collections cards could possibly go into?
No, there's no secret. I mean, it's either keeping up with it, and still, once it gets later into this, you know, year, that card might go into two, three, you know, four collections, maybe, depends on what card it is and who it is and stuff like that. And it's, I forget about one card going in a collection, sell it and say, oh, I could have used that. Yes, that part of the of Ultimate Team is by far the like, biggest negative thing to it, that towards especially newcomers, but even people that's been playing it since day one in Ultimate Team 10, which, I mean, told them, you know, talked to them about it. And, you know, I know that this is something they are aware of and they're working on, but I just don't know, you know, I don't see it really being up to par with what you're talking about this year. It's, you know, still going to be kind of similar to what it has been in the past. They have streamlined some things, but doing forest collections and stuff, though, I think it's going to be more like it was in years past.
Now, is there, Bert, has there been any talk, or has this even progressed for 14 to allow to extend the consumables? Because I know one thing in both Madden and FIFA is I tend to fill up that consumables pile where I know in FIFA the limit is 75. I tend to fill that up really quick. Has there been talk, or is there going to be action for expanding that?
There has been with Madden and NCAA, you know, you don't have the same consumables as you do like FIFA, where you have like, you know, a plus 10 to like, you know, shooting or plus 10 to goalkeeping or something like that. You have just your contracts, your coaches, your stadium, and your uniforms. NCAA will add another, you know, to that. I think the mascot, I'm sure that's where that, you know, will fall into as well. In years past, up until, you know, Madden Ultimate Team 13, you only had 100, you know, cards you could keep total. In Madden 13, they extended it where you could have 1,000 cards in your reserve. They, you know, did extend that part. You know, and I would assume that NCAA would follow suit. When we did the Ultimate Team community event, that's one of the things we addressed with them about, you know, extending how many cards you can have, because 1,000 cards, going from 100 to 1,000, you think, oh man, yeah. But as the year progresses, you want to hold on to like cards and stuff for collections and so forth. So, you know, until they can get, you know, a workaround to even extend it more, because all the cards are stored server side. Mm-hmm. They're not stored on your Xbox or PlayStation 3. So they're stored on the server. So you get to think, you know, how much a jump from 100 to 1,000 went in 1 year. So, you know, it may take up until next year, but they are aware of it, and like to make it unlimited.
When this feature was announced, some of the community discussion obviously centered on Madden Ultimate Team and some of their perceived shortcomings, or just the way games play out and teams play out that they're facing. One of the complaints or notes I saw, and Bert, I'd like to get your take on this first, and it's a two-part question, but I definitely want to know, in Madden, one of the users had mentioned that there's just so many high-powered quarterbacks that over time everybody has a gunslinger so they can all go deep and they have 99 receivers or at least highly rated receivers. So it really turns it into a game, a vertical game. Is that correct, or is there a lot of different varying play styles out there when you face people competitively in Mutt?
And, you know, it's very similar to what you see with people playing online in regular head. The stats on the quarterback, there's always overpowered quarterbacks, especially as you go further in the year.
Mm-hmm.
My answer to them is I put Dick Nitrolane on their ass. Yeah, I just put, you know, you got, but you do have like corners as well. Like, I mean, Dion, you have Rogers Cromartie, but his 81 gold card is great. I mean, he's tall, he's fast, you know, but it's, when you look at stats and stuff and look at those, I mean, quarterbacks, yeah, they might be overpowered. I would say you have a highly rated, like a RG3 or something, like, you know, being mobile and being able to throw, that's, you know, a lot more, you know, problem than having a, you know, all 99 rated Joe Montana or, you know, Dan Marino, because they're not going to beat you running like a RG3, a Steve Young. I mean, that two-star Steve Young that came out in his ultimate, you know, legend collections here was the best quarterback for months.
No, I think you brought up a good point there that, and this is kind of the way I envisioned it. See, I only do solo challenges, so I'm not up to speed on what people do, but I kind of had the same feeling that people are probably going to take advantage of what works online, not necessarily exploits, but, you know, if the running game is strong in the game, they're going to build a strong offensive line and get a good running back. But the user's original point made me think of this, and Jeremy, I'm interested to hear your take on this. My thought is, if anything, in NCAA Football Ultimate Team, there may be a lot of mobile quarterbacks, because in the college game, that's really what separates a lot of teams, and some programs are known for that. If you look just at the NFLPA and some of those players who, whether they be starters or backups, they were very mobile in college. That includes Michael Vick, Colin Kaepernick. And if you start looking at the legends that people have requested, let's look at our local school, Eric Crouch, Tommy Frazier, Scott Frost, that in the college game, it's mobile quarterbacks is the trend. Is that something that, and I know it's way too early to say it's an issue or even a concern, but do you think that might be the offensive trend we see in a lot of Ultimate Team squads for NCAA football is a mobile quarterback?
I think like one of the things, especially a little more of CPU awareness, I think the quarterback has had a better ability to run on NCAA with 13 and 14 is also, you know, it could be a very good possibility that it'll happen in 14 too. So I could see where there's, I don't know if there's going to be concern, but there may be some pretty fast quarterbacks. But at the same time, if you know what you're doing on defense with spies and everything like that, it's a thing that you can counter fairly easily.
There's been a lot of good debate on Twitter about this mode as well and discussion. And something I hadn't thought of, and I wish I would have wrote down who said this, because it's something I hadn't thought about. But once I read it, I thought, this guy's onto something, is that when it comes to ratings, obviously when a player has gone on to Madden, we think of him as a pretty good player. You know, Tom Brady, a lot of people would say, is one of the best quarterbacks to ever play football. But let's go back to Michigan, and let's say that obviously he'll be in NCAA Football Ultimate Team pending Michigan approval, but why wouldn't they? Okay, I'm going to throw out two matchups here. I'm going to give each of you one example, and I don't want an in-depth answer, but I'm asking this just to spur thought, because there are going to be players who we call them busts because they did not go on to the pros or do what they're supposed to, but in college they were phenomenal players. And this is the example this user used. Jason, Ryan Leaf versus Tom Brady, which one, based on college, would have the higher ratings? I would say Leaf.
Yeah, I would say Leaf too. And I think, you know, if you look at one of the from the article, if you look at one of the screenshots, and you'll see in there that Arian Foster is rated 73. Now, Arian Foster is not really one of the best backs in the league, probably second to Adrian Peterson at this point. And, of course, he was an undrafted free agent. He didn't really light up the world at Tennessee. And so you see that he's rated 73 in NCAA Ultimate Team. To me, that kind of says that the team is aware of that and would probably rate a Ryan Leaf higher than Brady.
On the Foster, I think that might have been like his starter pack, a starter card. But that's also with him. He was phenomenal his freshman and sophomore year. And it's kind of like, or maybe even his junior year too. But terrible, played terrible. His senior had fumble problems. You know, wasn't even in the play. So that might be one where his, you know, sophomore junior card is rated higher than if he had a senior card. You know, that was definitely why he went undrafted, is because he had a, you know, terrible senior year and he had, you know, fumble problems.
The other example that the user gave, and I think the reason one player might be rated higher is more for his team success, is if you had, and we don't know if Ryan Leaf is in, and we don't know about this other player, Jamarcus Russell and Aaron Rodgers, which one would have the higher rating. In real life, obviously Aaron Rodgers would mop the floor with Jamarcus. However, in college, Jamarcus was a very good player for LSU. So, like you said, JB, that was a great notice in that screenshot with Arian Foster, where it looks like they recognize this. And I knew they would, but as a fan, I think it's just funny to sit back and think, you know, some of these people are going to pull these cards and think, all right, Aaron Rodgers, what? Mm-hmm. He's only, you know, but you got to think in college, while a very good player, he wasn't as good as a Ryan Leaf, or he wasn't, you know, he didn't set the world on fire exactly.
Yeah.
So that's going to be part of the fun with this mode.
And anybody that follows football should know that. They should know that Ryan Leaf was a superstar. He was drafted high and flamed out in the pros. So obviously what he did in the pros has nothing to do with college. So that does make sense. I could still see with Russell versus Rodgers, though. I mean, Rodgers was a first-round quarterback, and some thought he was going to – he fell further than people thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think he would be higher – or at least equal with Russell. Obviously, I do agree with Russell being a good-rated quarterback, but if we're comparing the two, you know, it's not like Rodgers didn't have a terrible career and terrible promise at Cal, and then all of a sudden just kind of did what Tony Romo did and just kind of shot up through the stratosphere in the pros.
I think Russell, what helped him was LSU's success.
Yeah.
Is that if he put up those – well, he was a great player and had a great arm – if they had been a 6-6 squad, it would be a completely different story.
Yeah, I watched the classic college football game the other day. I mean, unless you go back and watch something like that, you'll forget how, and I did myself, how good a quarterback Jamarcus Russell like was in college. Like, he wasn't heavy as heavy. He was a big guy, of course, but he wasn't he didn't put on the weight. He was mobile. I mean, I saw him scramble for like a 30-yard, you know, there's going at the end of the game, like, you know, either tie or go ahead, and he was scrambling around. He was phenomenal. And I forgot myself how good a quarterback he was in college.
All right, guys, I'm going to ask you two different questions here. First one, let's go to Dirty Bird. Of the existing NFL players, those in the NFLPA, those playing in the pros, name a handful that you really hope you can land and play and use in NCAA Football Ultimate Team, and then tell us why.
I'm going to say first, Ed Reed. He's like one of my favorite players. I mean, if they have John Lynch, like, I don't care who they put in the game, John Lynch will be my favorite. But I don't know that, you know, he's in. I would say another one would be like Ray Lewis. Also, like that, I would have, you know, Javier Arenas.
Mm-hmm.
But not, you know, he was big for Alabama in that championship as a returner and as a cornerback. Of course, Ingram and Richardson. Like, you know, as well as a tandem, and now, you know, hopefully Lacey will be in there too.
Right. You could have like a just an amazing stable of running backs just using Alabama running backs alone from the last 5 years. I mean, that's pretty sick when you think about that. All right, JB, same question to you. What existing NFL players are you really hoping you can land the cards of to use in NC Football Ultimate Team?
I think the top one for a current, I mean, if we go Homer first, the top one I think for me would be Ndamukong Suh. Suh just was on his own level in college, and which is why he was drafted so high from Detroit. He's just a beast, and the things he did in college you don't see too many defensive players get to go to the Heisman Trophy ceremony. The things he did in college were the main reason why he kind of stands out among all the others.
Can I add to that? Since yeah. He was the player I was going to give. I'm assuming that he will have his own Heisman hopeful card, considering he went to New York. And you think about that season he had, especially towards the end of that year, what he did against Texas in the Big 12 championship game, what he did, I believe it was the year played Arizona out in the Holiday Bowl. And that, like you said, homer pick, obviously, I'll agree to that. But that card should just be a dominant card. That's why I'm looking forward to it. I think that was a very good pick. What other players are on your radar?
I was going to just jump in with that real quick.
Yeah.
Not a Nebraska homer, I'm an Alabama guy, but I agree with what you just said. I mean, he was one of the most dominating defensive players of the last 15, 20 years, man. He was unblockable unless you double teamed him and then chipped him with a back or left the fullback in to like chip him. I mean, that performance against Texas was one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen.
Yeah, if they do special cards like that, I mean, a Heisman hopeful or even a special one of Sue versus Texas or something, the ratings would just have to be off the charts to make it, a fair representation of what transpired. Jibby, who else is on your radar?
Another one would be Prince Amukamara, because he's currently with the New York Giants. He was drafted in the first round. He was kind of, in my opinion, I think he was our first ever, at least in the past decade, our shutdown corner. Of course, that term is kind of, ever since Darrell Revis come into league, that term has kind of become popular. And Nebraska has never really had that shutdown corner. You can go back to, Zach Bowman, Fabian Washington, they were pretty good and obviously had great pro careers, but Amukamara was just that guy that everybody did not want to throw to.
Except for Justin Blackman at Oklahoma State, but that was a fluke thing.
That's another freak in the NFL that should have a good card. And I got one more card. This would be kind of interesting. It's kind of bittersweet because he's no longer on the team anymore, but it would be awesome to have Brian Urlacher on your team. And the only reason why is because in an NCAA Ultimate Team, he'd be a strong safety.
Right.
So, he was in New Mexico, he was a strong safety, and then, of course, transferred, everybody knows him as a linebacker that he took the pros by storm. But it'd be kind of interesting to have Urlacher out there dropping back and getting ready to just not level a receiver out there in coverage.
Well, you took my existing player, so I'm going to lead off the former player or legend I hope to see added, and which is just these are players we hope get added. We have no clue of the realm of legends or former players who are going to be added. The ones I'm looking forward to is I'm really hoping that they get some former Nebraska quarterbacks, whether that be Turner Gill, Scott Frost, Eric Crouch, Tommy Frazier. I want one of those guys to be my quarterback. I know they're not going to have the highest rating passing-wise, but I want that mobile quarterback, and I want it to be a Nebraska guy because that's the stadium and uniform that I'm going to use for most of the year. And that's the thing with this mode, and I want to hear Bert your legends in a minute, but that's the thing with this mode is that they really have to identify the legends and really try to sign them. Guys like Brian Bosworth, and I know that was the debate and discussion Ben had with Rich in the podcast, is they're stressing the 90s players and beyond. But then they said, we want to get some of those bigger guys from the past, but the concern and issue is, will a lot of the fan base appreciate and recognize those players? I think they will. And if they don't, there's going to be somebody on the auction block who will scoop them up, or somebody on the trading block who will definitely go in and try to steal them. Bert, what former players and legends, and you mentioned a few of them with Javier Arenas, for example, are there any other former players or legends that you would like to see? And might I suggest one, Bo Jackson?
That would be one, even though he did go to Auburn.
I wondered if you'd be jaded because of that.
No, because he was an Alabama fan growing up, and the assistant that was recruiting him to Alabama told him that he might, get to play running back his junior year. He's lucky. And they wanted to move him to defensive back, so that's why he ended up going to Auburn.
That would be kind of the epic add. I mean, there's probably a lot of
there's probably a lot of us Tecmo Bowl geeks that mm-hmm. ran over everybody with Bo Jackson that would love to do it again.
It's going to be Derek Thomas.
That's a good one.
I mean, he is the true NCAA sack single season record holder and career. I mean, they don't count him as the career because they didn't officially start keeping sacks until after that, but he still holds the single season and career record. And he still holds the NFL record for 7 in one game. I think he had 50 something his junior year.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was insane number.
Yeah, that was like in 11 games. And he was 50-something in his career, but he had 27, I think it was, 27, 28, like in one season. And it was over mm-hmm. over 2.5 sacks a game. And you got to think, back then in the SEC and even, all over the country, they didn't throw the ball around like they did, like they do now. So, mm-hmm. He didn't have the opportunities but that's who I want, is Derek Thomas.
I think that transitions well. You said, they've got to sign these guys and come to terms with them. We've had a couple users, one in particular, Ram29 Jackson, and I was wondering how long it would take before somebody thought of this. What about celebrities or famous people who played college football? He posted, I believe, Steve Garvey and Kirk Gibson for Michigan State, but there's quite a few. Doing some research before the show, here's a list of some celebrities, and after, I want you to tell me the ones that you think would be kind of funny to see in the game or to use. Joel McHale, Fred Dreyer, which older listeners will understand, younger ones probably have no clue who that is. I know who that is. Steve Garvey, Kirk Gibson, Burt Reynolds, Ron Simmons, Lee Corso, Phil Robertson, Ed O'Neill, Mr. Al Bundy himself, Carl Weathers, Mark Harmon, Gibbs from NCIS, Suge Knight, Kenny Mayne, John Wayne, and Terry Crews. Just some of the celebrities who played Division I college football for teams that are FBS right now. Jeremy, of those, I have a feeling I know who you're going to say. Any of those kind of trip your trigger, be funny to see in the game?
Well, if anybody knows me, they know that my favorite TV show of all time is Married with Children, so obviously I would want Ed O'Neill in the game. Any of those guys would be awesome. It'd be kind of cool to see old John Wayne in there, and it's actually him or Ron Simmons, just because I'm a big wrestling fan. Guys like The Rock or Goldberg would be awesome too. Obviously I'd like to have Ed O'Neill quarterback in my team.
And Ron Simmons was an All-American at Florida State, so he would not be a novelty pick. He would be very, very well deserved. Any of those trip your trigger kind of funny players that you might like to see, Burt?
I think Burt Reynolds would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Corso, because I would love somebody to have Corso, because I'd like to knock his block off that old sunshine scooter. I would love to hit him, because he's not very well liked in the state of Alabama.
that'd be good. To have Corso in there.
Tell you another two players that haven't really, Herb Street, they already have his rights to be in the game, and then Pollock.
That also brings up another group that I don't think I've seen very many people mention. I saw it on Twitter for the first time today, is that there are a handful of actual game developers within the studio who played college football. Clint Oldeberg being the most high profile. He played for Colorado State and then went on and played in the pros for several years. I believe that it was tweeted out that he will be in, and I would assume that the other developers such as Alex Howell at Auburn, Larry Rehart, Florida, Craig Ostrander, Eastern Michigan, and I believe there's another developer who played at Florida State but that we've never met because the name didn't ring a bell. So that brings us to the final question of the night. It's been a long show, and it's early, and we're basing this a lot of just what we've seen and heard, even though I know you've played it a little bit, Bert, it probably wasn't a fair sample size. But what advantages do you think NCAA Football Ultimate Team may have over Madden Ultimate Team?
The diverse teams that you'll face, because you'll have people like you guys that will have Nebraska guys, mixed in, and
mm-hmm.
I'll have Alabama guys, Jay Barker, I want him to be my quarterback, David Palmer, people like that, versus, you do face some diverse team in that very rarely, you'll usually just have everybody just tries to stack the very best team they can get. You know, me, I got a really good team, but I also have players in my team that they're my favorite players or one of my favorite players, so they're going to be on my team. I think you'll see that more with the college game. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some that's going to try to stockpile a, you know, try to have the highest rated, you know, team that they can possibly get. The thing about with that late seasons and different things, if it's like FIFA, you have to have a certain rated team and you're tiered. You're not, if you're somebody that's not very good, like playing head to head and stuff, you know, you can stay and play in that bottom tier. You still earn, you know, coins and earn rewards and stuff like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
So just the diverse teams that you're going to have, just, you know, that's just one thing that I'm, that and the addition of season
mm-hmm.
is going to be, you know, something that's never been in an American football game before, in, you know, FIFA and stuff. That, you know, is we play, you know, section of the season while we're down there. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll wrap up the discussion on NCAA Football Ultimate Team. We're excited for it. I think as Bird and as JB have said eloquently tonight, just the bevy of legends and great players going to be available in this mode are going to make it so much fun to see and play. For all the latest on NCAA Football Ultimate Team and NCAA Football 14, make sure to visit thegamingtailgate.com. On behalf of Jeremy and Dirty Bird, this is CDJ. Everyone, thanks for listening. Dirty Bird.